Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
But listen, I don't ask you to shout just so we can like feel good emotionally, because there's power in your praise. You see, whenever you see God move, there's always a sound that happens when God begins to move. See, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. It was void. There was no form. And the Spirit of God is waiting for something. And if you read carefully, it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God was only waiting for one thing, and that was the Word. You see, there's something in your praise. That's why David said, your praise will continually be in my mouth. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain and say, be cast into the sea, it will obey. He didn't say, pray about the mountain. He said, you gotta. See, you might not know this. And by the way, I'm not preaching right now. We're just talking. The word of God in your mouth is as powerful as in the mouth of God himself. See, I could take you throughout the word of God where God said to Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. See, in heaven right now, there's a worship service happening. The Bible says that thunder and lightning, dark clouds surround him. The Bible describes cherubim and they cover themselves and they cry, holy, 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 holy. It's the same worship song. It's never changed. It's always the same. Some of you get tired if we sing a song more than twice. Let me tell you, in heaven, it's the same worship song. It's always holy, holy, holy. Because every time they look upon him, they get a fresh revelation that our God, he is holy. And there's the sound of worship. It's innumerable angels. Can you imagine the sound of innumerable angels? Can you imagine what heaven calls a choir? You got a great worship team. They know how to flow in the Spirit of God. But let me tell you right now, there's a sound in heaven that not even your earthly ears would be able to interpret. It is a glorious sound. And yet, the Bible says that there's something happens when vessels made of clay open their mouths. Now, if you heard me singing, you'd put your fingers in your ears. But there's something about God that when he hears it, he can't resist it. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. I will be among them. If you read the book of Revelation, the Bible says that on that day when we enter into heaven, it says there will be a silence in heaven. There is nowhere in Scripture that you will find that there's ever silence in heaven. One night in a crusade, there were thousands of people there, and they were playing these drums. They were just very basic drum skins. They didn't have all the fancy things you have here. But as they sang, I watched the power of God begin to manifest and crutches be lifted in the air and miracles began to break out. And I said, God, what is happening? And he reminded me of that scripture. I said, God, what is it with the silence? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right on the stage, right on the pulpit. They didn't know it was even happening, but I was having this encounter with the Lord. I was just staring up into the night sky as the power of God ripped through that place. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, because the angels cannot sing the songs of the redeemed. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying to you. An angel doesn't know what it is to be lost and to be found. An angel cannot tell you what it means to be washed in the blood of Jesus. They can't sing the song. That's why hell hates it when you worship. That's why David said, your praise will be in my mouth. because there's no sound like it. Can you imagine in the ears of God? Can you imagine Jesus when he hears that sound? Yeah, he's got innumerable angels, but there's a sound that he can't resist because it's so precious to him. It cost him everything. He paid the ultimate price. He laid down everything that he had, and he came in the form of a man, and he hung on a cross, and he died so that you could make a sound. And that sound is not just your sound. It's the sound of heaven. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of God say so. Don't keep it inside. Let it out. I don't know about you tonight, but there's going to be thousands crying out and just almost losing their voices over a set of guys dressed with helmets and plastic gear kicking a bag of wind over some posts. And yet we're in the house of God, and God's put a song in your mouth. He's put a praise on the inside of you. So for the next few seconds, I want you to lift up your voice, and I want you to let it out. I want you to let it out. Fill the atmosphere. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy of it all. Ma poco roba banda rama mando roko sa papa ba rende lama renda ma suko rakaba retambando roko sa pata rendo romove. Oh, hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready for an encounter with the Holy Ghost? It really is my privilege. I want to thank Alex and Naomi Pappas. I hope I said that correctly. And Oceans Unite for having me come. It really is my honor. Both my wife, Rachel, and I, and my whole team. I was preaching all day today. So I just left the service, drove straight down here. But I'm glad I'm here. I can see the hunger in your hearts, and you love what I love, and that is the presence of the Lord. So lift your hands all over this place. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that this is holy ground. And where your spirit is, there is liberty. That means there's freedom for every captive, for every situation. I bind every bondage, every stronghold. I come against every sickness, every spirit of infirmity. I bind it now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak that your word is like a hammer that breaks up the stony places. Your word is like a laver that purifies our heart. So let your word go forth. Let it bring life and deliverance. Let it bring healing and restoration. Let it bring salvation. Let it bring those things that you have promised. Father, tonight I declare that your name will be lifted high in this place. Now, Spirit of God, let your fire fall. Fall on every head, for there is a flame for every head. Lord, we pray tonight that lives will never be the same. That, Lord, you would launch from this house mighty men and women of God that will not compromise, but they will take their stand and they will take their place. For Lord, they are chosen by you for such a time as this. So Lord, I thank you for this house. I pray that there will be a deposit of your glory upon these people like never before. As they have opened up the door, we pray, Lord, we swing wide the gates. We open up the gates and say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Come and do what only you can do in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God shouted, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Before you're seated tonight, I want you to turn to three people and tell them, get ready, God is in the house. Glory be to God. Well, I've had the great privilege of traveling all over the world, but I've never been to Vero Beach. It really is an honor to be with you tonight. You know, I never realized when I said yes to Jesus what would happen. I'm a pastor's son. I grew up in church. I used to sit on the back rows. By the way, those of you that came to the service tonight and thought, I'll sit on the back row because somehow you got it in your mind that the further away you are, the less that God can get you. Well, I just want to let you know right here, right now, that's where I started. So that's where God starts in my meetings. So if you're on the back row, you're in trouble. I grew up in church. I used to hear my daddy preach. I wasn't part of a big church, but I had a father and a mother that knew how to pray. I used to think it was normal for pastors to be up at 4:30 in the morning on their face before God. My father's prayer life scares me. I'm just going to tell you right now. As a young boy, I would sometimes go and I'd think, what is he doing in there? He'd be in there all day. And I'd be thinking, I bet he's sleeping. So I would do a surprise attack. I didn't knock. I just opened the door. And I can see him now. On his knees with his face in the chair. I didn't know that after church meetings he would go. And he'd walk the dog after a Sunday night service. And when he got on the hills behind our house, when it was dark and he thought no one could hear, he would begin to hollow out, God, when will you move? I'm tired of even my own voice. There must be more. There must be more. He longed to see God move in his generation. I was a pastor's kid. By the time I was 16, 17, I was running from God. I was running from the church. I knew how church ran. I knew what time services began. I knew what would be preached, who would pray, when they would pray. I was a pastor's kid. I used to watch people worship and then they'd cuss you out in the car park. I watched people all my childhood. I would watch them. But as a 17-year-old boy, I don't know what was happening, but there was a rebellion in my heart, and I started running from God. By the time I was 18, I was already involved in drugs and alcohol, running hard from God. I'd be in the bars and the clubs at night. What I didn't know is that my father and mother, they would pace the church. They would pace the altar back and forth, crying out for God to save their son. They would say, devil, you can't have him. Lord, we have given him to you. He will serve the Lord. Can I tell you, parents, you might feel like your children are further away than ever before, but the devil is a liar. God is already doing a work in their hearts. He's already moving them. When I was 22 years old, there were nights I should have died. Should have just died right there in the street. But God never let me go. He'd save me and I'd still run from him. But you can't outrun him. You might as well just surrender. I was 22 years old. I wasn't even thinking about getting saved. It's not like I thought I'm going to go to church and get saved. I was in the house all by myself. I always say that God arrested me. He didn't just save me. I was in the house all by myself. And the power of God came in that room. put me on the floor for 3 hours. I was shaking under the power of God. It felt like that pulpit was on my chest. There was a heavy weight on my chest. It was the glory of God. But back then, I didn't know what it was. I knew it was God. God said, I got a work for you to do, but if you go from me today, I will not call you again. See, we preach a gospel, certainly in the Western world, and we preach it like you get to decide where and when you're going to give your all to God. Who told you that? The Bible says that God chose you. You didn't choose Him. Laid on that floor with all the bondage, all the issues, I just said, Lord, I surrender. Right here, right now, you can have it all. But God, you're going to have to do it, because I can't do it. When I got off that floor, I was totally free. No, I mean free. I was totally free. See, I preach a gospel, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That is the power of the gospel. You can be free right here, right now. I was so hungry for God. I mean hungry. Because I'd grown up in church and I wasn't going to sit in the pew for the rest of my life. I was hungry. See, hungry doesn't happen just because you had a good service. True hunger happens when God starts to strip you down. He starts to strip away your props and your masks and the things that we rely upon. When we say, God, we rely upon you, but we've got plan B. No, true hunger comes when God does a work in you and He starts to strip you down until all you've got left is just Him. And I was crying out. There was a cry in my belly. Sometimes I didn't even know what to pray. Just cried out. I'd be in my room at night saying, God! I didn't even know what I was hungering for. I didn't know what I was hungering for. It's not like I said, God, I need you to do this, this, and this. I just said, God, I just need you. Oh, God. God. It was over that 1 year that the power of God began to visit me. Sometimes it was for an hour, but then it began to become days where I'd be under the power of God. Just under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'd call my father. He thought I was going off the rails. He was like, Jesus, we prayed for him. What's happening to him? He thought my theology was like, what's going on? What's he doing? Because I'd ring and say, Dad, I got fire all over me. And it was in there, those encounters, that I would see vast oceans of people. I would see them filling stadiums and fields. And I would see the crutches being held in the air. And the enemy would say to me, that's in your mind. And yet, it wasn't in my mind. It was in my spirit. Every time I prayed, every time I worshipped Him, it was like there was something that God was birthing in me. I was a pursuer. I was a pursuer. You talk about the anointing, I was there. No matter where I had to go, I'd be there. In 2006, I had an encounter with the Lord, and He gave me the scripture from Haggai 2:7. Is this okay? I've never been here before. Because, you know, sometimes you see preachers, and you're going to see some of the videos in a moment of what God's doing around the world. And sometimes you detach because you think, well, that can't be me, but you need to know where I came from. And that's the problem today. We put preachers on such a pedestal that when they get dizzy and fall off, we're all shocked. Let me tell you right now, everybody has a testimony. And no matter where God takes you to, don't ever forget where He brought you from. Haggai 2:7 says, and I will shake all nations. I will shake all nations, and they will come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. God said, I'm about to move upon the nations like never before. I said, God, that's good enough for me. When I heard Shake the Nations, I was like, God, is that even in the Bible? Can't I have Holy Spirit fire ministries? He said, no, this is what you will call it. For this is what I will do. I began to preach the gospel. In the first 2 years of our ministry, we already witnessed over 100,000 Muslims make decisions for Jesus Christ across the nations of the world. It was in those meetings that the sick began to be healed. And in the beginning, I was more shocked than they were. See, the glory of God will make an amateur out of you no matter how many years you've been saved. When you think you know it, God will make you an amateur in a second. They used to bring people up and say, this man was blind from birth. And I was so shocked. I'd say things like this. How do you know you were blind? But you see, my friend, that really wasn't a question to them. The question was really this. Are you sure you were blind? Because how come God's healing the blind in my meetings and I'm just saved? I said, God, you're doing miracles in these meetings already? I don't have a Bible degree. I don't have certificates on my wall. I just had an encounter with Him. I just had an encounter where His fire would fall on me. And the Lord said to me, He said, son, whenever you preach the blood, you unlock the power of the kingdom. I'm going to play you a video right now. I could play you so many videos. But I'm going to play you just a couple of videos. Is that okay? I don't play them to entertain you. I actually play them to provoke you. I'm about to play you a video just over the last 12 months through 2019 of some of the mass crusades around the world. God is pouring out His Spirit like never before. Listen, don't listen to the naysayers that say, well, the church is going to go out on some whimper. Let me tell you right now, I'm telling you the truth. There are more blood-bought, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians on planet Earth now than ever in world history. Ever. Come on, somebody. God said we're going to go from glory to glory to glory to glory until we meet Him on that day. Say amen. So I'm going to take you right into some of the meetings that this is hot off the press, just some of the fresh meetings around the world. And then I'm going to take you into a video before I bring you the word tonight. Are you ready for the word of God? Yeah. And then we're going to let the Holy Spirit come and do whatever He wants to do. Amen. Are you ready for the fire of God tonight? Yeah. Back in 2010, I was just a young preacher. And I was invited by a man named Pastor John Kilpatrick. He had led with Steve Hill the Brownsville Revival. And my father was touched mightily in those meetings. I can't tell you that story. It's too long. But it just changed our family forever. I had a preacher call me and he said, Nathan, Pastor John Kilpatrick's about to call you. I said, what for? He said, he's going to invite you to come and preach. I put the phone down. I said, Lord, this is a big no. I said, Lord, I mean, come on. What am I going to tell him that he doesn't already know? Give me a break. Please, Lord, don't do this. So I got on the phone. I thought, I just pray that the dates don't marry up. You know, I don't need this. I got on the phone. He said, son, I want you to come. I said, yes, I'll be there. Put the phone down. I was like, God, what are you doing? I don't want to go. But it was a destiny moment. See, there are some things you can't even pray about because you don't even know they're coming. They're destiny moments. that God has already ordained for your life. I go and I preach. On the second night, I was preaching my little heart out. And suddenly, I felt something happen in the atmosphere. It actually felt like somebody just wrapped me in something really heavy. And before I knew it, I was in the floor. The worship team, they were all laid in the floor. And there began to be a sound in the people of just a wailing sound. And the more it happened, the more the glory of God just billowed into the room. And I knew something supernatural was happening. And Pastor Kilpatrick, I remember he got on the stage and he said, "I know what this is." And he said this line, he said, "He's back." That began a move of God that became known as the Bay of the Holy Spirit Revival. Thousands began to come from all over the world. There was a miracle that happened in that revival. Her name was Delia Knox. I didn't know this, but she'd been paralyzed for over 23 years. She was hit by a drunk driver on Christmas Day. She was married to a bishop. I'd never met them in my life. But I was preaching just like this, and I saw a man, just like I'm looking at you right now. And God said, "Call the man." So I called the man, and as I called the man, I said, "Where's your wife?" And in that moment, she was on the aisle and they just wheeled her out. And suddenly as they began to wheel her down, the power of God hit that place. I mean, boom, just in a moment. The power of God just manifested. What you're going to see tonight is her story. There's been many videos made upon her. This miracle overnight at over 1. Something million hits just overnight. What I didn't know is God was setting me up. There was a pastor that night that he'd already ordered his DVD of the service, because they in the revival, people would come and they want the service, their service that they were in. You know, they took it that night, and well, he ordered his, and he was like, "You won't believe what happened tonight." He put that video online, and literally the next minute, CNN, ABC, all the news began to flood into the revival. Pastor said, the news people are coming. I said, "No, we don't want them here." He said, "Look, they're coming whether you like it or not." But I knew God was up to something. Are you ready to see these videos? Then I'm going to preach the word. I feel a mighty anointing in this place tonight. Are you ready for what God's going to do? So I'm going to play you just the recent videos of some of our crusades, and we'll go straight into the Delia Knox video. Thank you.
Tonight,
esta noche,
in this stadium,
en este estadio,
lives will be changed.
Vidas serán cambiadas.
The Holy Spirit,
el Espíritu Santo,
is going to fill this stadium.
Va a llenar este estadio.
Lives will be born again.
Vidas van a nacer de nuevo.
Bodies will be healed.
Cuerpos serán sanados.
Jesus, we give you all the glory.
Jesús, te damos toda la gloria.
We lift up your name.
Exaltamos a tu nombre.
Tonight,
esta noche,
you will be glorified.
Será glorificado.
Nathan, this is Oscar. He's not been able to walk with a straight back for 43 years.
No ha podido caminar con su espalda derecho.
God touched him.
Dios lo tocó.
He can walk straight.
Y ahora puede caminar derecho.
Show the people how you used to walk.
Enseñen al pueblo cómo antes caminabas.
Now show them what Jesus did last.
Ahora enseñen lo que Jesús hizo en ti.
Somebody had a stroke down your right side.
Alguien tuvo un derrame cerebral en su lado derecho.
God is healing that paralysis. Move your body right now.
Dios está sanando el parálisis. Comienza a mover tu cuerpo.
What is happening right now?
¿Y qué te está pasando en este momento?
Derrame cerebral.
He had a stroke. I was in bed for 2 months and I couldn't move.
You could not move your body?
No podía mover este lado.
Muerto estaba.
It was dead. This side was dead completely.
Walk,
camina,
walk.
Camina.
Lift your legs up like
levanta
this.
Tu pie, levanta tus pies.
Move your hands.
Levanta tus manos.
Somebody shout hallelujah. last year in the stadium. Those of you who were there will remember that this man came upon the stage. He was pleading to God because his daughter was in a coma.
Él estaba clamando a Dios porque su hija estaba en coma.
I came because of my daughter today. She's in a coma right now. That's why I came right now here.
Lord, let the angel of the Lord go to that hospital right now. Tell the people what happened to you.
Dile al pueblo lo que te pasó.
And you prayed.
Y tú oraste.
I received the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Recibí la unción del Espíritu Santo.
And I fell.
Y me caí.
When I went to the back.
Cuando fui atrás.
Not even 5 minutes.
Ni 5 minutos pasaron.
I received the call.
Recibí una llamada.
Move her hand and open her eyes.
Y abrió sus ojos y movió sus manos.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
This lady testified last night that God had touched her eye. Now this is her son.
Ahora este es su hijo.
This child was blind in the left eye.
Entonces yes. el niño estaba ciego del ojo izquierdo.
And the doctor has verified it.
Y el doctor
it.
Ya lo verificó.
Tell the child to do what I do. Look, look, look. Look, 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 look.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Vamos, alguien.
Jesus.
Come on,
shout and praise.
To
God
be the glory. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Si no conoces a Jesús como el Señor y el Salvador,
then you're going to run to this altar.
No se vas a correr a este altar.
You die tonight.
Si mueres esta noche,
where would you spend eternity?
¿A dónde pasaría la eternidad?
Jesus is waiting for you right
Jesús
now.
Jesús te está esperando en este momento.
Come unto Jesus.
Ven a Jesús.
Come to Jesus.
Ven a Jesús.
There's a whole lot that I don't recall specifically, but I know this. The car vehicle was upside down and they were trying to get me out. And there was music playing in my head.
On a snowy Christmas day in 1987, Dahlia Knox was in a car with her sister and brother-in-law when they were hit by a drunk driver.
I was semi-conscious, then I went unconscious. And so then I woke up in the hospital.
Although the others escaped with minor injuries, the crash left Dahlia paralyzed from the waist down. Doctors told her she would likely be confined to a wheelchair the rest of her life.
From there on, I went through, like, what do I do from here now? Where do I go from here?
Dahlia was determined to live her life. An accomplished gospel singer, she continued her work in music ministry, but her life was hard.
I would continue to go and sing. And I would push myself, you know, into the restroom or the shower, whatever. And then I would drag myself into the car and I would push myself. It was one of those things where you had to drag yourself. You had to push yourself.
Dahlia believed God would heal her as people prayed constantly for her. But after a decade passed with no changes, she started to lose hope.
I didn't like going to altar calls because every time I would go somewhere, the service would change to a healing service and somebody would try to pull me out of the chair. And I've been plop, drop, flopped and flipped and, you know, to the point where I was like, I just can't go through that anymore.
While attending a Christian conference, she was captivated by one of the speakers, Bishop Levy Knox.
It was so amazing because he didn't see the wheelchair. He saw beyond the wheelchair.
He later became her husband and a major source of inspiration for Dahlia.
I remember him taking me in front of the mirror at home and holding me up and just say, I want you to see yourself standing. He would take me and dance with me and just, you know, as my legs would dangle, he would take me around. And he was one that always continuously tried to put hope and faith in me as to think beyond that, even though at times I was frustrated about it.
By 2010, Dahlia had been in a wheelchair for over 22 years. In August, she and her husband attended a conference hosted by evangelist Nathan Morris.
The evangelist went up and he started speaking on healing and all that. Had I known it was a healing service, I have to be honest, I would have never gone.
She was at the front of the church with her husband when Pastor Morris started praying for her.
here I am confined for 22 and a half years in this wheelchair. And for the first time in the longest time, I find myself that something could possibly really be happening. I said, I'm feeling something in my legs.
The power of God is all over this sister right now. She normally has no feelings, but she can feel our hands on her legs. And she's had no feelings.
I had to get to the heart of it. And the heart of it was, are you willing to risk your pride and take a step of faith, even if you fall?
With the assistance of her husband, Elia slowly rose. She later stumbled and sat back down, fighting to block out the doubts flooding her mind.
I remember the words that he prayed were, let faith arise in this woman of God. In Hebrews 11, faith is in the present, in the now. It's standing between two present terms. Now, faith is. And I sat there and a righteous indignation came in me. A righteous anger came in me. I just said, just worship, because I wanted to drown everything that was going out. I just worship.
Then her husband and Pastor Morris helped her back on her feet. She took a few steps on her own. Then, as the congregation sang and prayed, Dahlia started walking around the church.
Paraplegics will tell you that you can move on your hips. And so I thought, was I moving on my hips? I just started moving my knees up and down, and I started bouncing on my knees. It was like the awakening. This is really happening.
She began to take those steps and began to walk. It was like the word that had already been spoken, beholding the word, hearing the word, and now the manifestation of the promises of God was being fulfilled right before our eyes. It was phenomenal. It was life-changing for us.
Over the following week, she says God began to strengthen her legs. 3 weeks later, she walked in front of her own congregation for the first time. Today, Dahlia leads worship at Living Word Christian Church in Mobile, where her husband is the pastor. She also dances with him every chance she gets.
The miracle is the journey, is not the moment. It's the journey of recognizing who God is. If he would have never healed me, I would still be pushing through to get into his face. Because it's not about the healing, it's about the journey of knowing that God is there for us.
Oh, come on and give Jesus some praise in this house. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word tonight? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn with your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 4. I don't know what it is today, but wherever I am, wherever I'm preaching the word, I come in with one message, I get in there, and God just changes the message. So this has been happening all day, so my guys have been scampering around, going into the vehicles, trying to get this message ready to bring it. This wasn't planned, but I believe God is about to birth something tonight. Something powerful. Something that will count for eternity. Can you say amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John to the seven churches.